Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story?
Hey everyone, welcome to Weirdsville. Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I'm your host, Barry Johnston. With me as always, my buddy, my sidekick, Mr. Adam Beebe. How are you doing, man?
Hey man, I'm not just a sidekick. We're partners here.
No, equal. That's true. I'm sorry.
We're two Batmans. That's okay.
Correct.
We're two Batmans. we're not Batman around here. Hey Barry, thanks. Thanks for introducing me. Good to see you, man. How are you doing?
Great. And pretty stoked about what we got going on because our old buddy Hubbard is back.
Yes, he is.
He brought with him a distinguished guest. I mean, I got to be honest. I didn't know the history of that side of Jeff's life and his family, and it was just really, really cool to meet his father-in-law. And he's got some great stories.
Now we touched on it a little bit in our half-year anniversary episode. Mentioned it briefly how Jeff's father-in-law, Dr. Ify Ahmad, is just, you know, a classy guy. I mean, he is a respectable person. He is really an impressive individual on so many levels.
Yeah.
And we are honored to have him share his stories, and he's got some incredible stories for us. Maybe we should introduce Jeff. Hey, everybody, all you out there in Weirdsville, you know this guy. He's our sidekick. If anybody's a fucking sidekick here, he's our sidekick.
Yeah. I'll be the Robin to your Batmans.
All right. So Robin has two Batmans. So, okay. So anyway, hey, here's Jeff. Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to bring my father-in-law in today to tell some of his stories. He's got a couple stories that I've heard and I think some that I haven't heard, you know, that took place in Kashmir, India. They've got quite a rich family history back in Kashmir. My wife's great-grandfather was the first prime minister of Kashmir. He was also known as the Lion of Kashmir. He has a Wikipedia page if you want to look into it. Also, her grandfather was the chief minister of Kashmir in the 1980s, which is comparable to the governor. And so she has a very politically active family back in Kashmir. I think you could probably say that their family would be akin to the Kennedys of Kashmir.
Yeah. And from what I understand, had rubbed elbows with some very, very distinguishable people throughout the world, you know, politically speaking.
Yeah, yes, that is correct. They had a lot of very famous visitors back in the day. And I can tell you, I've been over there twice with her family, and Kashmir's a beautiful portion of India. They call it the Alps of India. It's at the foothills of the Himalayas, and it's very beautiful. It's the only trouble is, you know, it's a war-torn, conflict-torn area of the world. There are, you know, Indian soldiers on the streets with AK-47s, and just about every 50 yards, I'd say, in town. And her grandmother's house is guarded by state police with AK-47s. And when we're there, we actually ride in armored cars everywhere we go with police escorts.
That's pretty sober.
Yeah, it really is. Also had the pleasure of going on a horseback ride on these, I guess they were horses. They kind of looked like maybe they were mules, crossed between a donkey and a horse. But when we were on that ride, we also were accompanied by an armed guard. But even though, you know, it is war torn, it is beautiful, and the people of Kashmir are really great people.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like I said, her family has very rich political history there. And Iffy has some great stories, and I can't wait for you guys to hear them.
Yeah.
He
was, just to say, you know, from all that seriousness, like, he carries himself in a real fun manner, you know. You don't get that vibe from him. He seems like the kind of person anyone can have a conversation with, and he's got a great sense of humor and just really is a fascinating individual, you know.
Yeah, I've had the pleasure of meeting Iffy a handful of times, and he's just a great humble man. And when they were getting married, one night Jeff and I were supposed to hang out with his sister and her boyfriend while Noreen was getting, that's his wife, was with her family, and they were having kind of a traditional Indian type pre-wedding meal, and all of her family from outside of the States were flying in and everything, and she was getting her henna done and all that stuff. And it was this really, you know, really cool thing. And Jeff's sister and her boyfriend decided that they were just going to come up the next day instead. And so Jeff and I were kind of left without any plans. And so I said, dude, let's just go over there. And it'll be good for you because you can meet all these people, all the new people beforehand. And this experience is probably I'm never going to have an opportunity to have an experience like this again in my life. But I think it's a thing that's very valuable for both of us, that we just as an experience of living, you know, to do this. And so we did, and we had a great time. And everybody who came from out of town or out of the country, when they were coming in and they were introducing, you know, I was hanging out there with Jeff, and they were all introducing, this is, you know, this is the groom. And almost every single person walked right past Jeff and shook my hand, thinking I was going to be the one that was hilarious. Wearing her.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
You looked the part, man.
I did look the part. Let's be honest. Because, I mean, I look kind of like a Sikh, I suppose, because I'm big and tall and I've got a big beard. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I looked more of like what they thought that the Lion of Kashmir's great granddaughter was going to get married to, and not this guy. Well, Jeff, since you have brought us this honored special guest, why don't you introduce him to everybody out there?
Well, today, we're lucky enough to have my father-in-law, Dr. Iftikhar Ahmad, with us. And he has some very special stories, I think the majority of which happened in his homeland in India. Maybe some of them happened here in the United States. But we're very excited to hear from him and some of these dreams and other weird occurrences that have happened to him. And I think that we could probably set up a little bit of his backstory before we begin, but I'm going to go ahead and kick this off. So, Dr. Ahmad, what's your weird story?
Oh, the weird story is this happened in 1965.
Okay.
And I was alone in my grandfather's house, which was really not a house, but almost a 30-room mansion.
Yeah, why don't you mention, I'm sorry to interrupt because I do know this, if you feel like it, would you mention who your grandfather was?
My grandfather was the first Prime Minister of Kashmir.
Wow.
And he became the first ruler of Kashmir after 367 years of foreign rule.
Wow.
And yeah, he was the one who started the freedom movement in 1931.
Wow.
And by 1947, the Maharaja of Kashmir had to leave the state, and the state was converted into a democratic entity. Now, before we go that far, we need to also tell the audience that the state was sold by the British to the current Maharaja for about $1.8 million.
Wow.
And that's a good price. I mean, let's be fair. That's a good price for...
Not a bad price, but that meant lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah. Wow.
That is people, livestock, land, everything belonged to the ruler.
Yeah.
And he changed that all. Gave back the land to the people. All the debts were washed out. And started a whole new state. So that's the little background there.
That's just a little small background.
Oh, that's a smidgen.
that's pretty intense. Huh? That's pretty intense.
That's pretty impressive. Yeah, that's why I say, you know, we're honored definitely to have you with us, because, you know, I've told friends how you know, just Jeff being married to your daughter itself is a weird story. So we always say, you know, you married up, Hubbard. You married up. So
definitely married up.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
Thanks, Dad.
You're welcome. So the story, I was alone in the house. And grandfather at that time had been put in prison. And all the family was out. And I had locked the house. This was around 8:30. I went to my bedroom. And I'm listening to music. And I go on for about, you know, as a teenager, listen to music as much as you can. And around, was probably 9:45, I thought, man, let me just turn the music down, go off to sleep. And suddenly I hear footsteps. And no, can't be. And then I hear these footsteps come up the entire staircase, turn around, didn't stop at my door, kept walking, and then went another half a floor up on the stairs and stopped. So I thought, somebody's playing a trick on me. But I didn't have the guts to open my door. I bolted it, went back into the bed, and suddenly I see, and I don't see it, but I hear there's a calendar hanging on the wall and it's moving back and forth. I was so scared. Didn't know what the hell was going on. I took my a blanket over my head, and I said, the hell with it, now I'm going to die probably. And I just went off to sleep. How did I sleep? I don't know. Next morning I woke up and I remembered what had happened. So I opened the door. There's nothing there. Everything is fine. I looked at every door to the house. Each and every door was bolted from inside.
Wow.
So I went out, and our help was outside. You know, maids and valets cleaning the house. I said, did any one of you come in? And they go, how could we come in? You have locked the house, haven't you? I said, yep. And that was just once I had that strange feeling, and I still don't know what it was.
Had anyone else in your family experienced?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
Wow.
And
the first thing they were you drinking? I said, no, we don't drink. Did you smoke something? No, I did not. So I was like, okay, now you don't trust me. No. You're okay. We're just asking. I said, okay, thank you. I did nothing. So that was one kind of weird thing that happened in this house.
Yeah. How old were you again when that happened?
Oh, this was 1965. So that would make me 16.
Okay. Well, I think those are valid questions to ask any 16-year-old, you know, if they had been.
Right.
Yeah. So, and then it was this one I remember. There was war going on between India and Pakistan. Mm-hmm. So you could hear these guns in the background booming, boom, tack, 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 tack. So I woke up and I was on the third floor of this huge house. It was bright sunlight early in the morning. And I said, well, let me turn BBC on, see what the news is. So I put my hand down to pick up my transistor. You know, in those days, we used to have transistor radios. So I put my hand down, and something just pushes my hand back up. And it comes like this. I said, okay, now what the hell is this? I put it back again another time. The third time it happened, man, I just ran down, got the hell out of Dodge, and the rest of the family was there. They said, what's the matter with you? I said, this happens. Oh, my God, again? Well, something is there. I don't know.
That's a reaction, yeah.
And these weird things never happened again.
Mm.
That was it. That was wow. 1 year, twice in a row.
Wow.
Wow.
And how old is the residence? How old is that? The
residence was built in 1932.
Okay.
And then it got, with the eruption of militancy in Kashmir in 1990s, it was burned down by the terrorists.
Oh, wow. That's sad.
So we tried to rebuild it a couple of times, and finally it was abandoned and pulled down, which to me is very sad.
Yeah.
Because in that house, literally the history of Kashmir was written.
Wow.
Gandhi came to that house.
I was going to ask, was there any, you know, any correlation there? Was there a relationship with Gandhi?
And yeah, probably. The Pakistani-inspired militants didn't like that.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
That's and intense. All the world dignitaries were used to come there. I saw the senators and congressmen and, you know, ministers and prime ministers come and visit that house. That was ages ago, though.
So that house saw a lot of pretty intense people in intense times.
Very intense, yeah. At the time of the partition of India and then the first war in Kashmir. And then it became the house of resistance against the Indian misrule.
Mm.
So it's like poor Kashmiris get it from both sides,
yeah,
both India and Pakistan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the tragic history,
yes. And the other two instances I have is dreams, which now one is a dream, another is a real one, which happened. I was on this was 1965, and my grandfather was on a tour of Europe and Middle East, and he was in Algiers. And he had met with the Chinese Prime Minister, Chou Enlai. And the Prime Minister had invited him to visit China. Now, he was at that time not in power. He was just a politician.
Mm-hmm.
So Indian government didn't like that. Because right. At that time, India and China were at loggerheads.
Right.
So his passport got canceled, and he was asked to return back to the country. And he said, fine, I'm coming back. And we got the word that the cabinet has met and the prime minister has decided not to do anything. We'll let him come in and he won't be arrested. Well, this was at about 7 o'clock. We got this message from New Delhi. Mm-hmm. And we're sitting in the living room, just chit-chatting with each other as the family. And there was a huge portrait of his on the fireplace. And at about 11 o'clock, and that was the time his plane should have landed in New Delhi, the whole picture, the whole frame just fell down and the glass shattered. Ugh. And I made a comment. I said, uh-oh, I think the guy is in jail. And right then, our friend from New Delhi called and she said, his plane has landed and he has been taken a prisoner and he has been externed to South India. And it was like, and the guy said, how did you know he was arrested? I said, well, the photograph fell. Something strange happened. And that picture has been there. I remember we went back to that house in 1958. So since 58, that picture was hanging till 65.
Wow.
That is 7 years. It had never fallen. And
that was strange. Kind of
strange coincidence, yes. You can call it, or whatever. And the other one was here, right in Oklahoma City. This was 1982. And I woke up from a dream. And so my wife, Salima, said, what's the matter? I said, I think Grandpa is sick. She said, how do you know that? And before I can answer her, the phone rings. And my dad is on the line and said, hey, your grandpa is sick. And he's asking for you. And I don't think he's going to make it this time.
Oh, man.
Really? So I said, okay, I shall be on my way. I put the phone down and Salima goes, so what did you see in the dream? I said, well, I saw him lying in his bed, ill-looking, and wants to go to the toilet. And his valet comes and said, I'll get your bedside commode. And he gets up from the bed and says, no, I don't need your bedside commode. I'm going myself to the bathroom. So that's all I saw. So we fly. This is on 4th or 5th of September. And 7th of September, we are in Kashmir, and I'm sitting in the bedroom on the chair. And exactly the same scene gets repeated.
Wow.
Wow.
The guy is lying. You know, he doesn't talk to anyone. He's, you know, in and out of being with it and not with it. And he gets up and says, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. And the guy, Ganya, walks in and says, sir, I'll get your commode. And he pushes him off, gets up, goes to the toilet, and comes back. And my jaw just dropped.
That is amazing.
Man,
that
is. Saw it.
That is.
5 days ago. Never have had a dream like that before, never after.
That is wild.
Was your wife with you at that time? Did she witness that as well?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I told her, I said, remember the dream I told you? She said, yeah, this is almost like what you said. I said, I know.
Wow.
How do you explain it?
Wow.
That's really is wild. I don't think I've heard that story before.
You haven't?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah.
That is. And it has never happened.
You know, we've had people on that have discussed, you know, stories not like that, but similar, where they see.
Yeah, having,
they have people that are close to them pass, and they have, you know, something before they pass. They see a vision or they have a dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like a precognitive dream.
Yeah. And
that seems to be very similar about that is, yeah, that's so wild.
Yeah.
And he had been, and by him, he'd been bedridden for a while, yeah?
No, it was he had been sick before.
Right.
He had had a heart attack before. And he was doing fine. He was still functioning full time before he got sick this time. And at that time, he had come back to head the state as the chief executive. He was still in power.
Right. But what I'm asking, I guess, is this, he had this time, and when you had related to the dream, he had fallen sick, and you know, and your dad called you. You had the dream,
right?
And your dad called you, and was it unusual for him to have gotten out of bed? Where you know, because he at this point,
he was sick. He had a heart attack a few days before.
Wow. Well,
it was kind of sudden. But you know, he was 77, and at that time, 77 was pretty advanced age in the 80s.
Yeah.
Today it's almost a normal normal thing to see these guys go on till 87 and 85.
That's true.
Nothing unusual. But that time was normal. You know, it was an elderly person.
Wow.
Even by today's accounts.
Yeah.
Especially, well, and also everything that he went through, I'm sure aged him.
That's what I was going to
say. Oh, yeah. 22 years in prison.
By life experience. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing he made it that long, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he changed the destiny of the state.
Yeah. Remarkable man.
So from no ownership to ownership.
That's amazing.
For the common person.
That's amazing. I don't know if we'll ever top that. I mean, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing those stories, man. Wow.
Thank you, man.
Now, I don't know if you want to share this one, but I would like you to share the story, the dream that you had about your grandfather and his mausoleum where he was cold.
Oh, that was my mom.
That was your mom that had that dream.
She had this dream. And his mausoleum it's in the open next to the lakeside. And
I've been there. It's beautiful. It's a big marble tribute to him, and it's right by this natural lake Dull Lake, right in the middle of Srinagar.
Yeah, it's right in front of the gates of the University of Kashmir. Mm. And he had chosen that site because he was the man who built the University of Kashmir, and he wanted to be buried right there, which became the citadel of education for people of Kashmir. You got to understand that before he took over, that was in 1947, less than 1% of Kashmiris were educated.
Wow.
And at the time of his death, it was at 72%.
Wow.
That's amazing.
And today it is in excess of 90%. Wow. So despite our problems with India and Pakistan, the educational system that he set up has flourished. Wow. And so he is buried there. And every morning they used to... Well, before I go there, my mother had a dream, and Dad is telling him, "No, it's cold in here. It gets wet." And she said, "I don't know what this is." So she was talking to, just coincidentally, to the guy who heads the department that looks after his... gravesite. And she said, "You know, I saw this dream, and Dad said, it's getting too wet here." And he goes, "Oh my God, we douse it every morning. The fire services come and they douse that mausoleum with water."
Huh.
"And I'm going to stop it."
Wow.
Strange. And I said, "Mother, did you again have that dream?" She said, "Nope, nothing." So, wow. Another probably a coincidence, but that's kind of strange.
That is weird.
It's a coincidence, it's still an extremely unusual and fascinating coincidence, yeah, for sure.
And weird.
Yeah, and weird. Definitely, yeah, weird.
Wow. Well, yeah, thank you so much for being on and taking some time to talk to us. Yes. It's really a pleasure.
You're welcome.
Amazing.
Yeah, we are honored, you know, and just wonderful stories and just, you know, rich with history and stuff, and it's just fantastic stuff, and that you allow our buddy Jeff to be around you guys.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.
All right.
You too,
Doctor. Thanks for coming on, Iffy.
Thank you.
Barry, what do you think that people find the most far-fetched? Ghost stories or aliens as being the more unbelievable?
I would say aliens.
You know, I would agree with that probably too, because I think with ghosts, there's a part of the belief system that is abound throughout the world, and we want to have some kind of assurance of some form of life after death.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with aliens, it's unknown for sure. It's, mm-hmm, completely unknown. We have only our imagination. We don't have a lot of universal stories that we agree upon that these things exist, maybe.
To believe in aliens is to believe that we are not the sole existence of this world, which goes against a lot of belief systems.
It definitely does. But you know, the great thing about what we're doing here is we are open to all your stories about ghosts or aliens or anything in between or anything outside of. We're not here to judge. We're here to just talk and to share. And we don't want you to think you're crazy, because you're not.
Wow. We're humbled. And Jeff, thank you once again for marrying up beyond your station, punching higher than your level, all those tropes.
I'm doing the best I can do around here.
So much more than any of us ever thought would happen. So, no, Noreen's great, and you guys are perfect for each other. And it's the first girl that you ever dated that I was actually like, yeah, I like this one, you know. So, yeah. So, thank you for bringing Iffy on, and thank you for being with us once again. And Barry, thank you as always for being here, because it makes my job so much more easier that we're sharing this job as co-heroes.
Co-heroes, yes.
With our sidekick, Mr. Hubbard. So yeah.
Thank you guys for having us on. We really did appreciate it.
All right, everybody. Thanks again for listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. Remember, you got a story. We know you do. We want to hear it. You know we do. So, yeah.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YE r-weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, that's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, through March 16th, you will get a 15% off coupon on any of your purchases, and they're all really good priced, and they're good quality material. Currently, there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon, so just keep your eyes out for that. And if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors. everybody, Jeff's father-in-law, Ufi, was just with us. He left, and that was great. And that's a fantastic episode. So now we're going to have Jeff. He's going to read off some reviews here. The iTunes reviews, as we promised. You can hear him read your reviews. So if you haven't got a review written up there for us, reviewing and praising the podcast, you should do that so that in the future Jeff can read your review as well. So, Jeff, thank you. Let's hear those reviews.
The Cool Breeze 84, 5 stars. I want to believe you're weird. Great podcast. Two guys with the ability to talk out some pretty strange dark stories with their guests from a believer/Agent Mulder-like point of view. Some episodes have had some great music features as well. This is for fans of the last podcast on the left. Need to know Barry and Adam's top 3 weirdest songs and movies. Akito 10 says, 5 stars, entertainment, ! Two guys who have been friends all their life have guests to tell their weird stories. They tackle Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, shadow people, and all things in between. The hosts have a great rapport with the guests. You'll find humor, chills, and pure entertainment. I listen to them on my drives. Great production quality. Subscribe, and you won't be disappointed. By TRRRDKC, 5 stars. My new go-to. Pretty cool hearing some stories about places I know well.
Awesome. Well, hey, everybody, thank you. Let's all thank Jeff for reading out those awesome reviews. Jeff, once again, thank you for being the voice of the listener.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Peace.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for all your reviews and everything. Please write them, and we're going to be doing a contest in the future when we get some more reviews in. That'll be something to look forward to. And as mentioned in one of our reviews, we were asked about our top 3 weird movies and weird songs. And Barry and I are both kind of nerdy about that stuff, so we couldn't just give you a quick answer. So as a bonus this week, we are doing a whole extra bonus episode just answering that very simple question.
Yeah.
So don't forget to download that too.
We get a little long-winded, but I think it came out really good. And also, you know, for folks that are wondering about the review process, it just helps us gain more followers. It helps people, you know, get something to compare with other podcasts and kind of get them turned on to what we do. So by leaving a review, it really does help. It helps push people our direction, you know?
Yeah. It's the best thing to do. Tell your friends, telling people by word of mouth, getting on their phones and while they're not looking and opening their iTunes and forcibly subscribing to our podcast when they aren't paying attention, that helps. Subscribing is also really key because that helps us get more notice in the Apple world and in the iTunes world and in all the other places where you subscribe, you know, so that more people can click in and get keyed on to what we're doing here. So thanks for listening. Don't forget to check out that bonus episode and be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.